I'd like to mention as we begin the worship service today, as you may be aware, this is the first Sunday of the new Christian church year, the first Sunday in Advent, and our service today will be unique in that it will be different from our typical order of worship. In the service today, we'll be singing at least 8 hymns, taking us through the Christian church year, together with narrative readings, explaining the parts of the church year, and Bible lessons. And the hymns will be announced as we go through the service. You note they're not on the hymn board, but they're all printed in your worship bulletin. Let us open our service with prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, in your goodness, you've granted us the privilege of entering your house and worshiping in your holy temple. Lead us, O Lord, in righteousness, even as you prepare the way before us for our spiritual well-being through the forgiveness of sins. Direct us in our worship this morning so that we grow in grace and truth to honor and praise you for the indescribable gift of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Christian friends, the calendar hanging on your wall at home or the app on your phone begins on January 1st, lasts for 12 months, the time it takes for the earth to revolve around the sun. The sun is very important for our calendar. The angle at which its rays shine on the earth keeps changing due to the earth tilting on its axis, which is what gives us our seasons. In our worship lives as Christians, we live by another calendar, the church year, which has 12 months and which has the sun at its center, the Son of God. During the whole church year, the Bible lessons, hymns, and prayers all speak to us about what the Son of God, Jesus, has done for us as our Savior. During today's service, we're going to be sharing narrative readings on each of the church year seasons with corresponding Bible lessons and hymns. And it's our prayer that this service will sharpen our understanding of the church year and the beneficial reasons for our time-honored custom of worshiping the Lord the way we do through the year, and making it even more meaningful and spiritually beneficial. We begin with Advent, the time of year when the church opens the year by looking ahead to the birth of God's Son. It's a season of preparation, of thinking about our sins, feeling sorry for them, and waiting eagerly for the Savior's coming. In Advent, we actually prepare for 3 comings of Jesus. His first coming on the day he was born as a baby, laid in a manger at Bethlehem. We look ahead to the celebration of his birth at Christmas. His second coming is within our hearts. Jesus has come to us in our baptism, and he sends us his Holy Spirit to feed our souls with the Word of God and to empower us to live as God's children. He comes to us daily through his word to live in our hearts and comfort us with his love. And Jesus' third coming is in the future, when he will return on the last day to bestow on us the wonders of heaven. We look forward with eagerness to his coming on that day as our King and Judge to take us to himself. These 3 comings of Jesus set the tone for the season of Advent. We look back to the manger. We look at ourselves in our daily living as God's children. And we look forward to Christ's coming on Judgment Day. The liturgical color for Advent is purple, symbolic of penitence and sorrow for sin. It reminds us of the important reason for Jesus' coming, to rescue us from our sins. Purple is also symbolic of royalty and reminds us that the one for whose coming we are preparing is indeed a great king. We'll now hear the Bible reading for Advent.
Our first reading is various excerpts of Old Testament scripture. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. As was announced before, all of our hymns are printed in your bulletin, and we continue now singing to Christ with the words of O Come, Emmanuel.
After the 4 weeks of Advent, we enter the happy Christmas season. During this season, which lasts for 12 days, we focus our attention on the sublime teaching of the incarnation of the Son of God. The Apostle John wrote, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, the Jesus that was born at Bethlehem as the God-man, is a vitally important tenet of our faith. Our Savior had to be God and man so that he could be full of grace and truth, true God, and so that he might die for the sins of all people and rise again. With Christmas, we begin to look at what our Heavenly Father accomplished for us through his Son. Through Christ, he washed away the filth of our sin. Hence, the liturgical color for Christmas is white, the color for purity and joy. On Christmas, we come together to sing to God our praises and alleluias and our thanks for his great love to us.
And now we hear from Paul's letter to the Galatians and also from the Gospel of John. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We sing, O come, O come, O come, all ye faithful.
Now we come to the Epiphany season. The word Epiphany means showing. During the Epiphany season, the Christian church remembers how Jesus was shown to be God's Son and the Savior of the entire world. The festival of the Epiphany of our Lord falls 12 days after Christmas on January 6th, and the Epiphany season continues up until Lent. During this time, we remember how Jesus was shown to Magi from the east, who were led by a star to Bethlehem, where they presented to him their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We hear the account of Jesus' baptism when the Father showed his son's identity by speaking from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." We hear about miracles Jesus did and sermons he delivered where he showed himself to be God's all-powerful Son and the world's Redeemer. The last Epiphany Sunday we traditionally observe as Transfiguration Sunday, when we recall how Jesus showed himself to Peter, James, and John in his divine majesty, and they heard the voice of the Father once again speaking from a bright glory cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." White is a liturgical color for Epiphany, to picture the glory that God revealed to the world in his Son, Jesus.
And our Epiphany reading comes from him who has sometimes been called the evangelist of the Old Testament, Isaiah, and also from the Gospel of Luke. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." We sing our next hymn, "The People That in Darkness Sat."
The church sets aside the Lenten season as a time for prayer and looking at our sins. We think about our sin-stained lives, we repent of our sins, and we look to the promise of God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And we think especially during Lent of what Jesus did for our salvation. We remember how sinful men reacted to the love of God in sending us his Son. Even in his own land, among his own countrymen, Jesus was rejected, mocked, and abused. He went as a lamb to the slaughter of the cross to atone for our transgressions. He suffered the punishment of God we all deserved to obtain for us the robe of holiness that we need to stand before our God unashamed and uncondemned. The word Lent comes from an old English word, lengten, which means spring. And this word lengten was eventually shortened to Lent. There are 40 days in Lent, beginning with Ash Wednesday and ending with Holy Saturday, the day before Easter.
And again, we turn to the prophet Isaiah, this time in chapter 53. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And now we sing, O dearest Jesus.
Thank you.
Easter season. Hallelujah, Jesus lives. Easter is the high point of the Christian church year. It's the festival of festivals. On this day, Jesus rose from the dead as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God the Father certified the completed work of Christ Jesus, his Son, our Savior, in this greatest event of history. Paul wrote, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And really, everything with respect to our lives as God's people, both here and hereafter, is dependent upon Easter. Paul wrote, "If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins." Easter is what gives meaning to your baptism. Paul wrote, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Easter gives meaning to our lives each and every day. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul also wrote that in Romans 6. Easter makes Jesus' words in Holy Communion sure. "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." Easter is what makes Christian funeral services victory celebrations as we rejoice in our Savior's words, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And really, every Sunday of the church year really is a little Easter. For it reminds us that on the first day of the week, our Savior rose triumphant from the grave. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed.
Here are also these words from the Gospel of Matthew. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" We invite you to rise now for the singing of the Easter hymn, "Jesus Christ is Risen Today."
Thank you.
Just before going back up to heaven at his ascension, Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Jesus' disciples waited patiently for something to happen. 9 days went by. The next day it would be 10 days since Jesus had left them. The city in which they were waiting was very busy, for the next day would be an important festival. People had come from all over to worship God and take part in the celebrations at the temple. Then it happened. There was heard the sound of a mighty wind in the place where the 12 and others were waiting. Above them appeared small shapes that looked like cloven tongues of fire. Out of their mouths came strange sounds. They were speaking in languages different from their own. Those in the city heard the sound of the wind. "We must see where it comes from," they said. They rushed to the place from which it originated. To their surprise, they found Jesus' disciples speaking in many different languages. This was Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, 10 days after Jesus' ascension, the day when the Holy Spirit filled the disciples and other believers, blessing them with courage and zeal to speak to others about the love God has revealed in his Son Jesus. The events of Pentecost had already been foretold long before this. God had said through the prophet Joel, "I will pour out my spirit on all people, and they shall prophesy," that is, they shall share the words of God. Pentecost, meaning 50th, is the 50th day after Easter. It's the day when the Holy Spirit filled Jesus' disciples and blessed them with ability to speak to others about the wonderful works of God. The Holy Spirit is still active in God's Word. He used the Word to create faith in our hearts and make us God's children. He used the Word to empower us to share the saving message of Jesus with others. Let us now sing the Pentecost hymn stanza on page 4. The Apostle Peter tells us in his first epistle that as God's children, we should proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. During the Pentecost season, sometimes referred to as the Trinity season, which spans almost 6 months of the church year, we think especially of the teachings of Jesus and what they mean for our lives of worship. We think about how we may live as God's children and reflect the light of his love from our hearts to others. The liturgical color for the Pentecost season, green, reminds us of the Spirit's gracious work, of using the word that we hear and learn through the year to help us grow in our faith and cause faith's fruits to sprout forth in our lives for the glory of our Savior and the blessing of others.
And now also from the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples."
I invite you now to stand for prayer and for the Lord's Prayer. O eternal, immortal, invisible, and only wise God, who has brought us to the beginning of another Christian church year, we acknowledge with thankfulness all the mercies you've bestowed on us from the beginning of our lives to this moment. We praise you for preserving us from day to day, from year to year. We thank you for food and clothing, for health and strength, for friends and family, for peace and protection by day, and rest and safety by night, for our many advantages in this favored land, and for all other blessings. Above all, we heartily thank you for the gift of your only begotten Son to be our Savior from sin, for your mercy in having called us to faith in him, for the church in which you've placed us, for faithful pastors and teachers, and for your holy word and the blessed sacraments. Do good, we implore you, to the church which your right hand has planted, and water it abundantly with the dew of your blessing. Cause the gospel of your dear Son Jesus to be preached with wisdom and power, and give us grace meekly to hear and gladly to receive the word of Christ our King, that accepting him as the way, the truth, and the life, our only Redeemer, we may be united with you by faith and walk in the way of your commandments all our days. Dwell in the hearts of our children, that they may sing hosannas to you, and add to your church daily those who believe and are saved. Prosper all endeavors to spread abroad your gospel in the world. Show your truth to those who are in error. Teach your ways to the wicked, and let sinners be converted to you. Strengthen the weak, comfort the afflicted, and sanctify the faithful by your truth. Bestow your favor upon our nation, and grant that the course of the world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance that your people may joyfully serve you by all godly quietness. O God of peace, sanctify us completely, and may our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful are you who has called us, who will also do it, to the praise of your holy name, and for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we also now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Be seated. The closing narrative for this service. What God began when He chose us by grace to be His before the world's foundation, what He accomplished for us through the work of His Son, what He gave to each of us in our baptism and continues to work in us through His Word, He will bring to ultimate fulfillment when He returns in glory on the last day, our great King and Lord, to receive us to Himself.
Lastly, we hear from the Gospel of John and from that other book he wrote, that wonderful book of Revelation. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. He who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We sing our last hymn.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We sing the closing hymn.